Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Entrepreneur Product Sourcing and eBiz Show, brought to you by WorldwideBrands.com.
Thanks for joining us. I'm Colette Marshall. I am the Worldwide Brands Business Development Manager. And importing is one of the more complicated forms of product sourcing, but the benefits are tremendous. That's why it's worth the trouble to make sure that you're complying with custom regulations and doing your importing right, so that you can enjoy those considerable cost savings and get those unique cutting-edge new products. Today we're talking to Kelby Woodard of TradeInnovations.com about your responsibilities as an importer and how you can make sure that you and your eBiz are in good legal shape. Kelby, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Let's get straight to it, Kelby. You know, importer's liability. What is that? What are the things that we need to know as online sellers?
Of course, anytime you're selling anything in the United States, there is a liability associated with that. You need to make sure that it's product that conforms to what you're selling and that it conforms to all U.S. regulations for domestic sales. But when you add the factor of importing, it becomes ever more complex because you've got issues with identifying the right people to source that product from overseas. And while that geographic distance may seem smaller in today's internet world, it still can be pretty great when it comes to cultural differences and understandings. So sometimes when you're talking to an overseas manufacturer for a product, what you think is generally understood by them and by you may not actually be well understood. And so there's a lot of cultural and communication errors that can occur during that sourcing process, which is why it's important, one, to either visit that particular location, whether it's in China or wherever it may be around the world, to gain that personal relationship, or to use somebody here domestically that you trust that can do that for you, a company or a consulting firm that can do some of that legwork for you. So when you look at the liability aspect of it and why it's more difficult from imports, you have to add the customs liability. So while you're bringing that shipment into the United States, you have to make sure that all the regulations of imports are being followed. So as I'm sure everybody is aware of, there's an increased focus by the U.S. government on regulations for importing, primarily because of the quality assurance issues we've seen out of China, as well as some of the food security scares we've seen. So that added complexity just adds one more layer of liability into your product when you do import.
And it's not only China. You know,
many,
the media definitely talks about China all the time, especially with the upcoming Olympics. We're going to hear China even more than we hear it today. There's many other countries that are actually more critical and more regulations than China that you just need to be aware of.
That's correct. China is just the big gorilla. They're easy to pick on. That's right.
So now, I've heard this term quite a lot, informed compliance.
Right.
What does that mean, or what does that refer to?
It actually is a term that's in language that Congress passed back in 1992 called the MOD Act, and it's the Modernization Act for the U.S. Customs Service. And what it required was it changed dramatically the way product is imported into the United States, whereas traditionally, before that time, your customs broker actually handled the entire process and was responsible for that import. That changed with the MOD Act. And the MOD Act had two different key pieces to it. One of them is informed compliance. By informed compliance, it means that the U.S. government will make sure that they have all of the knowledge necessary, either by website, by publications, for an importer to understand how to be compliant with U.S. laws and regulations regarding imports. In exchange for that, that means that a U.S. importer is now fully liable for any misunderstanding of those regulations or any time that they violate those regulations. That can be up and including to jail time if the U.S. government finds that fraud is the case in that particular import.
No, Kelby, we kind of got that scare factor out of there. You know, the buyer is responsible. But really, when it comes down to it, there's a lot of great things that you can do to get yourself into importing, and it's a lot simpler than a lot of people think it is. Can you give us some tips about that and how to make sure we have all our bases covered?
Absolutely. I absolutely agree with you. The benefits far outweigh any of the difficulties that you're going to have in the importing process. The key is to go in it with your eyes wide open and understanding that there will be hiccups along the way, but the benefits will definitely outweigh those hiccups. The first thing I would do is start off in phases. So if you're just beginning importing, don't just automatically go to the internet and find somebody in China who says they manufacture your product and then just make an order. you do need to do your due diligence, whether it's you personally, as we discussed a little bit earlier, or whether you use an expert in this particular area to help you through this process. The second piece is consider sourcing from a country that is a little bit closer to the U.S. during your first time, whether it's a country like Mexico or even farther south in South America, because those countries have a little bit easier logistics into the United States sometimes than the Pacific, than coming from Asia. In fact, what you'll find is some of the benefits from sourcing from Asia are beginning to wane because of increased logistics costs out of Asia and increased costs at the U.S. ports who are handling goods from Asia. So there is potential for a competitive advantage here by using other countries, particularly countries that have free trade agreements with the U.S., in which you're not going to pay any duty whatsoever on product that you bring in. Countries like those in the Caribbean Basin, those in Central America, and, of course, NAFTA countries like Mexico and Canada. There is a real competitive advantage for those countries because of the duty issues and the fact you don't have to pay taxes on those imports.
Two great points of advice. So now, what can we do as a buyer, if let's say we go into one of those free trade countries, to make sure that that manufacturer is a good, reliable source?
Well, the first thing is, of course, to pick the right one.
easy, right? Easier said than done, right?
That's right. And that requires you to do some due diligence research, including some online research. It's amazing what the Internet can tell you about companies and how quickly somebody who has been dealt with wrongly by a company will post that on the Internet. So that's a great way to do some initial research. The second piece is to, again, use that expert. Find an expert in that particular area who can give you some advice on which companies are reputable and which ones you might have some issues with. The second piece is to verify. Once you've identified somebody that you think is going to be a good supplier for you, do some verification during the process. And that really requires you to have a good freight forwarder or customs broker or, again, a consulting expert that can help you through that process. Because what's going to happen is, even if the product itself meets all of the regulations and qualifications for entry into the U.S., now you have to make sure that you get all of that accurate information to customs on time. For instance, there's a requirement that the manifest of every container on an ocean vessel bound for the United States is submitted to customs 24 hours before that container is put onto a vessel. So all that information has to be accurate from the supplier and has to be verified by your freight forwarder or carrier that you're using and then submitted to customs on a timely basis, or you're going to add significant time to your supply chain as it sits on the dock waiting for that information.
Is this where the concept of direct filing for customs entries comes in?
It is. As you continue to become more sophisticated in your operation, of course, one of the things that you're going to consider is that there are more ways in which you can save money and become more efficient and effective in your operation is direct filing. It is a law in the U.S., that you have the right as an importer to file your own entries with Customs and Border Protection. So you can do that by filling out paperwork and being at the port and submitting that. But there are also numerous companies today who allow you to use the Internet to file that entry with U.S. Customs and save a considerable amount of money. Now, the good news is, from a liability standpoint, it is one less person who can make a mistake in your supply chain, because you have that control. In many cases, your broker can provide some good advice, but in a lot of cases, they can also just add complexity, which can result in mistakes being made on your entry and costly delays in your import. So it is just like anything else in today's Internet age, similar to TurboTax, where you file your own IRS entries. You can file your own customs entry, because at the end of the day, really, that customs entry is a tax return. Every entry into the United States is filing an individual tax return with customs. And some of these software programs are really idiot-proof where, again, like TurboTax, will ask you questions about, are you sure you want to file it this way, or have you considered these different areas?
And if you do decide to use a broker or a consulting service, you know, go by recommendations.
Correct.
And if you're interviewing somebody, don't be afraid to ask for their references and who they've actually worked for.
Correct. So,
now, at what point does buying domestically make better business sense than from an importing standpoint?
Well, I would say if you have a commodity or a product that the margin is not important on, where there's not much competition, but yet you can find a good domestic either manufacturer or someone else who has already imported that product and can afford that additional margin to your final product, then that makes sense. And if it's a product that is a little bit more complicated to get through the import process because of its nature, so for instance, if you're, I assume there's not many people doing this, but if you're bringing in pharmaceuticals, that's a little bit more difficult. Just to throw out an example of a product that would be much more difficult for you to bring in yourself rather than allowing someone else who has the resources and knowledge base to be able to bring a complicated product into the U.S.
Where can I find out more information about these subjects that you touched on today?
Well, I think there's two websites I would recommend. One is CBP.gov. CBP stands for Customs and Border Protection, which is the new name for the U.S. Customs Service. There is very good information on that website regarding different requirements as part of its informed compliance requirement to bring stuff into the U.S. Two, of course, is our website, where we have lots of different links for different kinds of information as well as direct information, which is the tradeinnovations.com that you mentioned. A third site that I would recommend is trgdirect.com. For those companies or those individuals who are interested in learning more about the direct filing concept, you can find some information there. And there's a trade association called TradeBridge International that also has a website and really advocates for the small to medium-sized importers and exporters in the U.S. who typically have been underrepresented by associations in the past. So there's a lot of information specifically towards small to medium-sized enterprises.
Oh, we like all the help we can get out here. So, you know, Kelby, I'd like to step back a second. You know, early on in the show, we were talking about some of the quality issues, especially with China. So for the sellers out there who are interested in buying from China, what are those things that they need to consider?
Well, the first thing to consider is that China isn't really doing this in order to try to circumvent U.S. laws or regulations in general. This is a bit of a cultural issue that if you talk to many people in China, they don't quite understand this quality assurance issue because in the U.S. we have a fairly advanced quality assurance requirements. Whereas in most areas of the world, that is not the level that it needs to be. So there is this misunderstanding from a cultural standpoint exactly why we're so worried about quality assurance. When in the long term, for instance, if toys have lead-based paint in them, that is more of a long-term issue than anything that the Chinese in general see as a short-term issue for the safety of American children. We just have a tendency culturally to look at that a little bit differently. Two, the Chinese government is very obviously concerned about its image regarding being the manufacturer of the world if its products are seen as not being quality. So they are doing a lot of things from a regulatory standpoint and really clamping down on companies who are not following the quality assurance standards, both in China as well as from a U.S. import standpoint. A lot of that's pressure from the U.S., and most of it is just economic survivability because China realizes it needs to have a good reputation. So there's a lot of that. Most companies use a third-party validation firm to make sure that the quality of products is what has been ordered and to make sure that they meet all the U.S. requirements. It's not something that eliminates your liability. It's one that mitigates your liability.
Well, it comes back down to what we said earlier. You know, it's the buyer's responsibility. Sometimes the best way is to go straight over there yourself.
That's correct.
Well, thank you so much, Kelby, for being on the line. We do really appreciate all the wonderful information that you've provided us.
Well, thanks again for having me.
For more information, go to tradeinnovations.com. I'm Colette Marshall.
Today's Entrepreneur Product Sourcing and eBiz show has been brought to you by WorldwideBrands.com and Entrepreneur.com. Join us again next week for more free eBiz education with the Internet's leading product sourcing experts.